Hello, hello, and welcome to Midlife Crisis. We're so happy that you're joining us for this epic journey of three middle-aged guys, myself, Kevin, and my good friends, Steve and Jeff, as we dive into the world of bootstrap SaaS. From the excitement of our first user sign-up to the perseverance needed for those late-night debugging sessions, we're here to share every twist and turn. This is about the raw, unvarnished truth of building a business without the safety net of external funding. So whether you're an entrepreneur at heart, someone captivated by the startup ecosystem, or simply intrigued by our midlife venture, you've come to the right place. Let's dive in. Welcome to Midlife Crisis. I'm joined here with Steve today. How's it going, Steve?
It's going great, Kevin. What's going on with you?
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I'm taking advantage of the sun today because it's been so, it just snowed earlier this week in town. And then suddenly now it's about 65, which feels amazing. So I'm going to be recording outside today. Hopefully there's not too much background noise, but just taking advantage of it while I can.
Yeah, it's not quite sunny here, but next week it should be in the 60s.
Oh, great. Okay. So you'll be there soon. Yeah, I think we're supposed to have another wind or snow coming this weekend. So, but yeah, it feels great. Spring feels great. I'm just like appreciating. I'm just appreciating it. I used to live in Los Angeles and for way too long actually, and because you never have rain or cold or snow, it's like this all year long, and you really could care less. You become this kind of, you know, pitiful creature that doesn't appreciate nature or beauty anymore. Especially, you don't appreciate good weather because it's always the same. And
yeah, abundance.
I'm actually really appreciating going through the cold, going through some snow, or in Phoenix it's super hot. I mean, you appreciate the variation, and then when it becomes nice again, you're just like actually grateful for it. So that's the nice thing about I'm sure a place like Minnesota as well, where you're at, right?
Does it get really muddy there in the spring?
That's what
we have here. Like we actually got a bunch of snow, and so then kind of the spring, you go through this muddy area, like kind of this muddy phase where the dogs, the kids, all get very muddy.
Okay. Well, you know what? We were renting a house up in a few hours away north of here in Arizona, and that we were on a property that had no concrete, no pavement. And yes, it was muddy like crazy. So I can't say. It was annoying. It'd be like the snow would melt. It would be muddy every place. Your tires are constantly messed up, you know. And then there's that kind of snow, mud, dirt crap, and that was unfun too. But you know, I got in. I think I mentioned last time I got one day of snowboarding in for the year, and that was nice.
But check it off the bucket list.
There's pros and cons. Yeah, pros and cons. So on your side, you know, I think I asked you last time, what was going on in terms of the app, the launch date, et cetera. Any updates on that front?
Yeah, so I've got all of the Stripe stuff set up, all of my subscription, all the logic. It actually, again, like I don't know. I overestimate how much I can do in a day. And yeah. However, I have made some progress. Like over the weekend, I got much of it done. And then I got some of the, I just got some of the other like buttoning things up. Like I felt I was just spending so much time on infra, and I didn't get too many features. And so now like I've got some more features. I'm working through some of the other YouTube pieces, and then the analytics. I'm wrapping that up. So I think we're pretty close.
The analytics for the podcast to see what the downloads look like and all that stuff.
Right? Yep. Okay. So people can kind of get downloads, download counts. Like,
right. You know, I want to get access to this now. I'm making me excited. I want to see. Yeah. This. Once one you have of the reporting app, can you give me?
Yeah. So it's kind of a few step process. I'm just kind of taking through number of logs, but what I have for hours is kind of interesting. There's around, I want to say we're over 500 downloads.
What?
Now,
Ours? Is that us downloading it, or is that
yeah,
real?
and so that's kind of the thing is like as I
It's
analyze
quite
some of
high.
our stuff, yeah, I
Does
would
it have it on
agree.
a, can you see it yet on like a per episode basis?
Yeah, so I have it kind of per episode, and
Okay.
actually the one, and so this is weird, like I've been trying to actually look at it to see if there's something off, but our episodes get like the last one we dropped a couple days ago. Well, actually, so that one has 17 downloads,
Wow.
right? So I can probably say at least two of them are me,
Sure. Well, probably
because I
one's
have,
me.
yeah, and then somebody's downloading it from an Apple Watch. I assumed one of them was you from an Apple Watch,
Don't think
and
maybe.
then there's, yeah, so I'm just kind of going through, like I have it somewhat summarized by the user agents and stuff. And so Spotify, Apple, and then
I mean, I can listen to my Apple Watch, but I don't think that I'm down. Mine does not show ours and our da and my Apple Watch downloads, so I don't think mine's downloading it to
right,
react.
so even better. Yeah, I think
Yeah.
it was like, I don't know, like, yeah, there's some. It kind of shows like the state, the city, or the state, the region,
Yeah.
the city, or whatever.
Okay.
And so I thought it would be somewhere around you, but if not, even cooler. We got
Well, it's,
you got a
you know,
neighbor listening.
oh, so you think it's Arizona? Maybe it is. I mean, it's possible that it's sticking it on there without me knowing. And then the other thing too is we, you know, what, as you know, just because you get a download doesn't mean it's someone actually listening. It could just be their podcast system, you know,
Yeah, so that's what I've been
redownloading.
trying to figure out. So there's kind of a difference between, so like if you watch, you can see somebody will do like a head on the element or on the episode. And so when they do that, like it should be followed up with a get. And so trying to figure out, I don't know, like I've been trying to come up with some algorithm to figure out like if I can see or determine how much of an episode has been listened to. And I think I have some ideas. It just involves like a lot of like we would need to host it on maybe our own hardware, or we'd have to have access to the hardware to gather
Really?
some of the stuff.
Oh,
But
wait a second. We'd have to host it on our own hardware. You mean, what does that mean? Like
well, like
instead of like Azure or AWS or something?
yeah, like the so the files that are being served, like I would need raw access to the network, and I can probably get
Oh,
that on
okay.
some bare metal stuff.
Yeah.
I was going to patent it
Same.
before I talked about it, but
Okay, yeah. Well, don't say
especially
too much
providing it to
more
the
to, you
internet.
know, but I don't think people, and my guess is that anyone who's listening is very unlikely to want to put
Yeah,
up their own bare
take
metal
the internet.
server in this day and age. But that's interesting. So I'm looking at Apple Podcasts. It's called podcastconnect.apple.com. And you can see, so because we run through Apple Podcast store directory, it shows there. Here, I'll just share my screen real quick so we can do our live podcast analytics over on the podcast. So here's what they're giving us. This is like a few, this is my other podcast. Actually, our
Okay, we got
podcast,
nine followers.
yeah, nine
That's
followers.
good.
These mean that these are real iTunes, you know, or whatever, Apple people. And then I'm not sure what listeners means. The unique number of devices that have played more than 1 0 seconds. And then this is the
Okay.
people who actually follow the show. Right now it says engaged listeners zero.
Yeah,
So that's not
nobody's engaged. Come on,
the
guys. We
number of
need you to
unique devices.
engage.
Yeah, we need to get some engaged people. And then we have 64 plays overall, but that's just all of them. That's kind of cumulative. So you might want to, I don't know if I invited you to this, but if not,
Yeah, I think you added me to
okay.
it. I haven't.
It'd be
I
kind of
mean,
cool to compare and contrast to your analytics so you can kind of get an idea for, I don't know. I mean, because I assume that they've worked out some of the kinks of like, I guess it's sort of like you want to avoid, or you're trying to reduce fake download, you know, like false downloads or whatever, false
Yeah,
data.
and I try to group them. So, I mean, obviously there's by IP address, that's pretty easy. And then kind of the timestamp, right? So if the same IP address gets it within a certain window, right, you can
Got it.
maybe assume that they're just, getting chunks of it or whatever. Like, I don't know that I can see the entire request or understand, did the download abort somewhere or whatever, right? So
Got
if
it.
it's buffering or not. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff around trying to analyze that. So it's
Yeah.
mostly like I'm just kind of just kind of winging it to come up with a value. Like I know we get a download, but then trying to lump those downloads, are they the same download? And for the most
Yeah.
part, like I can tell, if somebody has binged us, you can kind of see they just keep
Got
down like they
it.
download every episode.
We got everything. And
So
also, it depends too if I'm not sure with this Apple Analytics if they're excluding Android devices or other devices or are they, with the followers, I'm assuming that the followers is only Apple folks, because how would they really know? I guess
Well,
no
because
one.
you can follow it right on in the app, like in
Yeah.
podcasts. I know on
Yeah.
Spotify you can follow it or whatever, right? So
Yeah. But
like that
does
might.
Spotify, when Spotify follows a podcast, does Apple know about that? I'm not really sure that they
Oh
would.
yeah, I would highly doubt
Yeah.
there's a centralized followers
Right.
database that Apple and Spotify share.
Exactly. Yeah.
Very, very unlikely.
That's where it gets difficult. So all you're able to track with your analytics with any certainty is sort of the download number and then
Yeah,
who's
I can
downloading
see who
it.
downloads it.
Right.
Yeah, like,
And
and
find some
by who, I
consistency.
mean, yeah, it's just,
Can
a
you see the
user agent and
device?
an IP address.
Yeah, so user agent would be like the device thumbprint. Something like
Yeah, and so
that.
that's what I was talking about, Apple Watch, right?
Got
So
it.
there's a user agent that comes up that says Apple Podcasts, and then in parentheses it says Watch.
But
But I'm a
that's not like a unique identifier for that device. Like,
No,
it's
no, no,
just
there's
telling
nothing.
you the generic kind of device information.
Yeah, it's the user agent out of the HTTP
Okay.
header. So
So then
it's
you could
not.
possibly combine the IP address and the user agent, maybe to make an estimation of if it's the same, like a follower, right?
Yeah, so we could look and see like how many of the same IP addresses,
Yeah.
and then even taking it further, right? Digging into the IP addresses, asking Aaron or whatever, figuring out what their address ranges are to figure out, like, okay, it's this ISP. And I don't know if the GeoIP module does that for you, but we could
Interesting.
then say, like, okay, this IP address, this ISP has this subnet. And so then we could figure out, like, how many users from a particular ISP, and
Right.
then start to see, like, if you see, maybe. Like I can see a lot of Apple Podcasts downloads.
Yeah.
So if there's Apple Podcasts and then in the same region or whatever, but a different ISP, and
Right.
I don't know. So there's a lot to it, but the data's all there. It's just a matter of trying to piece it together.
That's
The real
great.
question is how can, I don't know that you can get much more beyond that.
Yeah, it's hard. And that's why I guess that's the advantage of like a Spotify or a Apple. If you put your podcast on their platform, is that you get pretty good data about their users because they have full control over that app, whereas
The
any
metrics are
other
much more
podcast app.
rich.
Yeah. But it's interesting. I mean, I remember in my last podcast plugin I used, it was called Podlove on WordPress, and their analytics were fairly basic, but they tried to be useful, and I think it erred towards giving you a lot more credit than you deserved. Like, you've had 30 downloads or 50 downloads, which I, as a podcast creator, I kind of liked it that way. And sometimes I'd compare it to other analytics and I'd be like, oh, I got half. Oh no, I'm gonna look, at the good one.
All these other people
Yeah,
suck. They don't know what they're
they
talking
must
about,
be
this
cutting out
one.
my downloads. So I just assumed that this one was gonna give, was the most accurate, even though it was probably a lot of me downloading my own podcast on different devices or something. So anyway, it's it you know I think people just want to see, it's not that they want to see only good news. Now, I will say there was a guy that I knew that was on his podcast, actually. So anyway, he's got this podcast. I won't say the name of it because I don't want to,
Joe Rogan, but we're
yeah,
not
Joe
going to name
Rogan.
names.
So anyway, he has this podcast and he went to this conf I met him at this conference and he was on a panel about, I don't know, media or something like that. It was not a big conference, but it was like a bunch of entrepreneurs. And he's on a panel and he's kind of like, yeah, I've got a podcast. I get, I think he said I get like hundreds of thousands of downloads or something. It was some massive number that was really big.
Right.
And I think he said it wasn't too massive. It was probably like a 25,000 per episode. And I was like,
Wow, okay.
that's a good decent that's a
That's
decent
really
amount,
good.
right? Anyway, so then I talked to him about a year later, and he was really bummed. He was like, I just learned that I have been measuring this all wrong. I was looking at just pure traffic to my website, and I
Oh.
was confused. And he wasn't like the most tech savvy guy, so he was like going around telling everyone he had like a massive, pretty big
Right,
download,
right,
getting
right.
sponsors and stuff. And then one of the sponsors asked him like, okay, well, show me the results. And when they looked at it, he was getting less than like 60 downloads per episode. So it went from
Oh,
25,000
yikes.
to 60,000. And he was having episodes on the podcast about like, hey everyone, well, this week I want to talk about what a failure I am. Like,
Oh,
because the whole
man.
point of this was like kind of like a po entrepreneurial podcast. And it wasn't really that he was saying I'm a failure, but he was like, I'm dealing with my existential crisis. Am I a failure? I don't know. And it was kind of working through this stuff. And
Right.
I felt kind of bad for the guy. So it is important to be able to have, like, for him, your product would have been good because he couldn't have screwed it up. Whereas the way he was doing it was kind of throwing things together. And
Yeah, it's
he was not using a true podcast service. He was just kind of putting episodes up, and it was hit or miss.
yeah, that's the that's kind of the hard part, right? Is like once you think you're,
Yeah.
I don't know, like you're in some different thing, and you're like, oh crap, I still got a bunch of work to do, right? Like
Yeah,
then.
exactly. Yeah, you're set back. Now the thing about you that I think now that you are again in this age of AI is that with your analytics, it won't be hard for you to turn on some AI intelligence on this analytics and just let it figure stuff out, like to see how,
Right.
to really kind of like triage what's a real follower or what's not. And so that should be fairly straightforward, I would guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of think there's a number of ways to figure it out. It's just the, yeah, like what's the, because even if a user downloads your podcast or the same IP address downloads
Yeah.
your podcast, like could that just be somebody, like let's say a couple people work at the same spot. And then they're using their work's
Exactly.
Wi-Fi, and then right, so you can't necessarily know the device ID that's hitting you, so you're gonna have to like assume like is that two downloads? And I think right
Right.
now I'm just saying no, that's just one,
Got
and
it.
that
Okay.
might be inaccurate. Like it just depends on the timing, right?
Or
Like
it could
if
be a VPN that people are sharing. Who knows?
For
The numbers
sure,
there.
or like apartment complex, big
Yeah,
condos, conventions.
exactly. So that's probably where I'd say that, or a co-working space. Yeah, I'd say in general, it's sort of like how AI is getting built into ad platforms and figuring out stuff that's quite incredible. That I swear the other day, I'm still mystified by this, where I was talking to my wife about something aloud, and then I got an ad for that, and I was like, wow, that is so bizarre. And I checked my phone. So two theories with that is, I had del just deleted all my social media apps. It was a YouTube ad though, so I have not deleted that app. So it's possible that it's
Okay.
listening. The strange thing is though, I checked my iPhone to see if I allowed permission from the microphone to YouTube, and it was disabled. So either they're ignoring that, and somehow able to skirt around the that limitation and listen anyway. Or it could, well, now that I think it could have been that one of my Google apps might have microphone access. Maybe that's what's going on. Maybe like Gmail has.
Interesting. But I don't think like you almost have to, like, don't you have to engage it, right? Like you can't just,
supposedly,
like, hopefully nothing's, like the only thing it probably be would be like if Siri was on and was listening.
Yeah.
But even then,
even Siri wouldn't give it to Google. So either, yeah. So two theories could be: one, I have a device, I have an app made by Google that I haven't disabled microphone access to, and which would be like the Google app, actually, now that I think of it, because I often press the mic. So they're just listening all day. That would make me feel slightly better, actually, because at least it's listening to specific things I'm saying. Or it's somehow the AI is just watching everything I do and figuring out in general that this is what I want, even though I've never actually typed that search before. And it just knows me so well. It's like God, you know, it's just like he wants this, you know. And that's where I still have to get really scared, because it's like, wow, this is ever present, you know. It's frightening. So I don't know.
Yeah, you had mentioned, you know, so actually I ran into something, I don't know, it was like a couple of days ago. You had mentioned how at first you had thought AI was like just figuring everything out, and you didn't realize like you had the special instructions. And the other day I was using Claude, and I was kind of pasting in, you know, source code, and then it was giving me back stuff. And I told it, like, basically, like, hey, when you give me stuff, you know, give me the entire file. Don't just put what you think where it should go, because it didn't make sense. And so I had it print out the entire file. And then inevitably, Claude lost its mind. And I started using it again in another conversation. And every time it gave me something, it gave it to me in its entirety. So I don't know if there's like some weird session, like tracking around that, but like at least with ChatGPT, it won't remember, unless I use special instructions, anything from a previous chat. Whereas Claude seemed to be doing the things that I wanted that it wouldn't normally do without me prompting. So I don't know. I don't know if it's coincidence or not, but I just.
So even though you've disabled the conversation story, basically you've disabled it to remember past conversations.
I don't know that. I don't know that it does. I don't know that setting's there. I guess I haven't looked.
Okay.
But
right.
Historically, like what I do is, I'll start using it, and then I'll have a chat. Like I try to pick, you know, if I'm like I try to get as specific as I can for each chat that I start, and I only use that chat for that specific thing, and then sometimes it just goes off the rails and I can't get it back, and then I just start a new chat. And so like when I started a new chat, it just like somehow seemed to remember some of the prompting I gave it before, which was interesting. And maybe it's just for my user, for some prompt persistence, or there's some, I don't know, there's some logic, but it was really interesting the way it, I guess the way it worked.
Yeah. I'm thinking
I don't know.
It's built in, it's got some continuity built in.
Yeah, maybe.
So kind of like what you care about. What you've talked to it about before, maybe. I guess.
Yeah, it was weird.
Mm-hmm.
But it reminded me of your situation.
Yeah. This is where it really is starting to get. I, you know, there's this coffee shop in town that, that I go to almost every day. It's sort of like the equivalent, I would say, is like a Cheers. Like everyone knows your name. You know, you walk in and everyone's like, oh, hello, Kevin, or hello, whoever. And then what's cool about it is there's a bar. I realize this, if you're new to a town and you are looking for a good coffee shop, find one that actually has a high bar, kind of like like a place for alcohol, but there's no alcohol at this particular place. And what happens is people walk up and they order their drinks, and they start talking to each other because they're sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
And then so it's been cool in that sense. So when AI came out, I'm in a small town, population, I don't know, 15,000. When AI was released in the end of 2022, I thought, well, I'm a technologist, this is a small town. I'm going to probably be the only one who knows what's going on with ChatGPT and AI. And I walk into this coffee shop, and people that have no background in technology, they're not programmers. Some of them are just baristas. They were like way ahead of me in terms of like, oh, have you seen what it's doing? Da, 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 da. And I was like, wow, I'm quite humbled. I mean, I thought, again, from a big city like LA, and I grew up in the Bay Area, that I would be naturally ahead of everyone. And I was quite schooled by these guys that are in their 20s that are, again, have no reason to be way ahead of everyone, but they are. And we were all just bothered every day. We'd show up like, okay, what'd you learn today? And it was like, now it's doing this and now it's doing that. It was like, you know, watching a car crash. We couldn't all stop it.
Right.
And now when I walk in, no one's talking about AI. Even though it's moving faster than it was back then. And there's more to talk about. We're just so bitter and so tired of that topic as a group, you know, like no one wants to talk about
it.
We're just like, I don't care. Don't rub it. You know, don't tell me about
you'll it. Get kicked out if you talk about
this. Yeah. Like, it's just like,
I don't need another project.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was a lot, you know, back in the day, it was a lot of like, you know, we're all worried about some aspect of the future, but now that the conversation, I think most people have just kind of gotten numb to this. Oh my God, what can I do now? And it's now at this point where it's doing incredible things. Every day there's a new amazing thing it's doing. I don't know if you saw some of the, what's it called? There's some new app that can generate music, like a full song with lyrics and everything in any kind of style you want. And
oh, it's interesting.
Quite good. I mean, it's like these songs are like, the way I would put it is like, you know, it's sort of like elevator music where, except elevator music with lyrics and words. It's not something you'd recognize any of the songs, but you could have it on in the background and it would sound like a funk station or it would sound like a rock station. You wouldn't really know these tunes, but you wouldn't be that worried. You'd be like, yeah, this is pleasant music, you know, in the background. That's how it feels. It's quite good. Again, the melodies are good, all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's not super great yet, but it's like 70-80% there, you know. And
interesting,
you know, it's bothersome because then you're like, well, you know, what are we, you know, again, it's encroaching into human production more and more and more.
Yeah, like I guess we could have some new intros. I've been, so like for some of my testing, right? Like I host some other podcasts and I created podcasts for the kids. And so each one of the kids, like they have their own podcasts on Spotify, nice. Whatever, like they love it.
Are they producing content?
Kind of. So
okay.
I was able to train. So I've been using 11 labs I was able to train a voice. Kind of for my daughter's voice for her podcast. And I would build these transcripts. Like I would basically ask ChatGPT, like, here's a theme, like write something about this.
Yeah.
And so I'd take all that text, convert it to speech. And then I would kind of do like the same for my son's podcast. So it's been pretty good. The issue is like training the voice to like get up to speed with like a real person's voice. But the challenge, there's always these things, right? So like when we're talking, we have, I mean, I don't know, I say too much or whatever, or random things.
Me as well.
And there's like laughing or emotion in what we're doing, right? There's banter.
Right.
And I was kind of wondering like how to build that in, right? So if we're able to be very kind of to the point and just sort of reading something, we can get AI that does that. Mm-hmm. And I was also looking for like generating like AI video content of having somebody speak the podcast. But it turns out like the things that I've seen, man, they've, yeah, they, Like, I have nightmares about these people talking and like the unnaturalness of it. And so it's, so I don't know. I think we're getting close. Like, the music is cool, but again, it seems like the, how do you get that emotion or that, I guess I don't know the proper way to describe it, but like all of those nuances that we have when we're talking and the
True.
pauses, all of that, like it's,
Well,
yeah.
that's why I would
So
say
it's
it's
getting
not something
there.
that I would like. This music is not stuff that I would be like, okay, I want to listen to my favorite new song by the AI. It's not to that level yet. It's more
Right,
like I
Drake
could
AI.
tolerate it in the background, and it might be, similar to like a house mix that I don't really know any of the songs, and it's just moving, it's like making noise and it's pleasant, but it's not something memorable yet.
Yeah.
But we're
Could
already
you do
only a year
subconscious
and a
stuff?
half in. Huh?
Could you do stuff like to like prime your subconscious, to like program your subconscious, like just have it singing like all of these things, or even reading you the news, like in a
That'd be cool.
song form. So you're just like hearing the news in the background, but in a more pleasant way,
Interesting.
or like reading blog articles to you, like
That's fascinating.
in a musical fashion, just kind of on repeat. So like the whole day you're just learning all sorts of stuff, like, and you don't even know it.
Exactly.
That
Yeah,
could
and
be
I
a,
think I was watching this John Stewart bit, I think, that he put out a day ago about AI. Nothing crazy, nothing like wild, but it was it, he, I think he did a good job summarizing how we're all feeling about it, which is, every day it's he kind of focused on like how all the initial CEOs were like, oh, don't worry, it's not going to take jobs. It's going to enhance your job. It's going to be an assistant to you. And then he would cut to other more recent ones. This was back in the day, Satya Nadella was kind of saying that, like, no, it's not going to take your job. It's going to help you at your job. And now he hasn't been saying that. Now it's more like, some company, happily laid off 95% of their support humans. And the guy was like, well, isn't that kind of cruel? And the CEO, I don't know which company this was. It was like some company. And the CEO was like, well, only to a human. And
oh,
only
wow.
if you're a human would you think it's cruel. And so we're kind of now moving to maybe that a little bit more, where I think we will, this is now the time where a year and a half into this is now the time where I think we'll start to find that there are big layoffs in the next 5 years that are going to be coming, that people are just like, yeah, we don't 80% of those people, we just need 20% to kind of manage the AI to do, so it really is that whole thing of if there was a time, the whole Paul Bunyan thing, if there was a time where you needed 100 men, big men, to come chop down trees with axes, and then the blanking now, the electric saw, what is it, the chainsaw comes out, now you need one. Maybe you need 20 of those guys with
Right.
chainsaws to do the same amount of work. And let's not pretend like that's not going to happen, because it will happen. The question is now, as it encroaches, usually it was like, well, the artists will be okay, the musicians will be okay, because they're creating something so unique
Yeah.
and
There's still like an
special. And
artistic
yeah, that,
thing.
who could recreate that? I think that was what was always bizarre, is that that was always our backup plan. It was like, well, if we don't, if we can't go labor in the fields, we'll have this backup plan, which will be very specialized kind of creative work. Even I was talking to someone yesterday at this coffee shop, and we were talking about like, well, what about surgeons? Like, I have a family member that is, he's just finished up his like residency, and he's going into a pretty advanced fellowship for a surgery. Well, which is great. But in 25 years, let's say or less, let's say that you were a patient and you had the choice between him as the surgeon, who, he's a human. He makes mistakes and he has habits. Some of them are good, some of them bad, whatever. Or you have this AI system that let's say, can you shared a link moving to a place where now where the AI can be extremely accurate and extremely smart. So anyway, yeah, I mean, would you, if you had the choice as a patient to, and I hope I'm not being, not being, but if you had the choice between the patient, a certain, hey, this, our system never fails, what would you choose? I think we're.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to kind of see where all of this goes, especially in, I don't know. There's like different fields, right? Though, so like the advanced stuff, a surgeon, there's also a lot of regulation around that. So I would assume, that would probably be one of the later fields. But, if you think about, I believe Klarna, like they were, I want to say I thought they talked about it like even on All In, where somehow they were able to use AI and for all of their support, and it like increased or it decreased the time to resolution, like it decreased the number of like follow-ups from a customer. Like, so there's like some really interesting stuff there. And yeah, I guess your point about the chainsaw or even the plow or the computer from the typewriter, right? I mean, these types of things happen. I mean, there's not a lot of people still, using a horse and buggy, but I mean, it's innovation. So it's, I think everybody just kind of finds other places or like where they can fit. And there was something, I'm not sure who it was, but they were basically talking about like, as we're kind of automating some of these other things, like we should also be using the AI to help with finding solutions for the people who are doing this thing, right? So like where else would that skill set be applicable, and how can we help with that transition? So I think
But
there's
it is different, so people will often say, well, we've had this before with this industry or that industry. What's been interesting about historically, we've always had, I think even John Stewart mentioned this in the piece. It was like before it was like decades of ch transition. You'd have a maybe the farming, you think about farming and how slowly the farming technology would be introduced. There was a bit of a cushion.
Yeah.
Also, it was industry by industry. So if you had a cotton gin show up, whatever, I'm just thinking like farming or like a plow, a tractor to replace hand plows. This didn't affect the it didn't affect knowledge, whatever knowledge workers were. It didn't affect it didn't simultaneously affect artists. It didn't simultaneously affect other kind of industries, manufacturing at the same time. These would have been in different, it would have been, it would
You're
have
right.
hit
Yeah,
at
I
different
mean,
places.
the impact is so broad.
It's really,
Like,
I think it's going to be very destabilizing for society because it's going to be, it's like you just got whacked over the head as a society. We're like, whoa, where, okay, well, that's taken, it's doing everything for everyone at the same time. And now there's only, now there's really, this is sort of where we talk about, gosh, what the only thing that comes to mind is like the means of production, that phrase, the means of production, which I know is like Marxism. I'm not a big Marxist, but that's kind of like who owns the means of production, or who owns
yeah.
the actual, who owns the person producing the value, the goods and services. And so it makes me wonder, another thing that comes to mind is like before the Bolsheviks kind of took control of Russia, let's say, if you kind of look at that era, this is the 20s with Lenin and stuff like that. If you actually look at Russia pre communist revolution, you have hundreds of years of some of the worst serfs. Worst serf system or most oppressive serf system in all of, Europe. You could compare it to like Western Europe, and Russia was just extremely in bad shape in that sense. So you had just kind of the class of a few elites, and then you had a lot of serfs, and they were really treated poorly compared to even like places like France and England and Germany and stuff like that, where the serfs had a little bit more, a bit of choice, a bit of freedom. And you do wonder, like, you look at that, and it was basically a situation where you had owners of the land, and then you had people just working it pretty much. The people that were doing well were the owners of that land. And so now you think, well, what will it look like in our new modern age? Will it be those who own this? Let's look at our podcast. That will it be the owner of the SaaS that is able to produce something with AI, AI workers, who gets to have all, who's basically one of the few chosen people that can support themselves, and so that's a kind of a that's a good thing for small entrepreneurs, but it does make you wonder, like 10 or 20 years ago, you would have had to have programmers, you would have, if you wanted to scale up, you would have had a lot of programmers, and they would have had good jobs and all this kind of stuff. So, again, I'm not coming from any political persuasion here. I'm in general big on capitalism. I love capitalism. I think it's an amazing dynamic, and but I am concerned for it now. It's like, well, what happens when you don't have the need for people to be working? What does that look like? Do we, what happens in society? It seems a little,
Well,
it seems a
and
little destructive or destabilizing.
who owns the AI, right? Because like, let's say, I mean, again, so democratization or whatever, like getting it into the hands of everybody, being able to run your own models, all of those things are great. But today it is a little bit harder. And so it's almost like, what if, one, what if you're too dependent on it, right? So like if, and I think there was kind of that thing when OpenAI was going through its situation, in November or whatever, just about like what would happen if it went away, right? And I know that there's many other competitors, there's a bunch of open source. Actually, this is where I think open source really shines, because it does, I guess it does sort of level the playing field, maybe not in terms of hardware as much today, but at least in the ability to help you. And so if we think about, if I'm using AI to do my job and that AI goes away, what do I do? Right. So then are we almost like, I don't know, just cogs using AI as opposed to, original thought again. Right. And so that's, yeah,
Yeah, and
there's a
it
lot
kind
of
of reminded me
interesting.
in the piece again. If I'll try to put a, sh okay, I'll put it. I'll tell the AI to do this for us.
Yeah, I
AI.
was actually thinking about just saying like, hey, Merlin. I was trying to come up with
Yeah,
a
good idea.
name that's not, but like it's a magician, and so I think Merlin's a magician's name,
Yeah,
or
there you
maybe
go.
that's a wizard. I don't know. I get them confused, but
So just a context for the listener,
Houdin.
we were talking last time as a way to tell our AI podcast producer, in quotes, if we mention it, if we mention something, it can put it in the show notes. But you were thinking of like kind of personifying that, right?
Yeah, something I think kind of like you said it, right? It can't be words you say all the time. So every time I say it should do something, like that's not going to work.
Right.
But
So
if
it's
there's
John
some
Stewart on the false promises of AI, Merlin. Whatever.
Yeah,
Put that in the show notes. It'll probably just confuse it. But anyway, to look this up, there's a part where he says, oh, because there's all these kind of quotes of CEOs saying, oh, don't worry, there's a new job called the something prompt engineer.
prompt
And he's
engineer.
just like, come on. Like, basically, that's just like another way of saying, like, guy who types question. Like, that's the job now. And then, how long is it before the AI doesn't need dude who types question anymore?
Oh, there's actually, I think the guys at Claude, like they released something that talks about like using Claude to like be your prompt engineer. So basically using AI to build its own prompt. And then I think there's a LangChain video where they go through kind of this whole process of building your prompt with Claude.
That's going to be a
And
big
so,
joke like in 20 years. Like, oh, remember when we actually thought there would be a real job called the prompt engineer? Like, as if there's something
right.
complicated that a human is needed for. Bullshit. Well, yeah,
Yeah,
bull ass.
you just send an email to some prompt engineering group at your
Yeah.
company and then tell them like, hey, I need to find out what the weather's going to be like tomorrow. And then you're like, okay,
Yeah.
here, ask this question. You
Yeah,
don't even need to use AI,
exactly.
just go to Google. Like it's,
Exactly. It's just
yeah.
it's a hope. It's kind of like a pipe dream, that there will be this need for that. And so anyway, it is. I am curious what will happen. I think, like I was saying earlier, I think my family member who is a surgeon, who's a new surgeon, will have some time. I think, like you said, regulations. There'll be a few decades, but again, even if there's regulations in that, and they say, oh, well, you need to have a human at every surgery present. Great. Well, you don't now, but you don't need, it's sort of like a, it's sort of like a self-checkout. You can now have one cashier
Right,
manning
right.
or, three or four self-checkout stations instead of three or four cashiers.
Yep.
And so that's
Oops,
kind of the
we dropped
idea.
the arm on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Somebody go
Get the
pick that thing
robot.
up.
Right. Somebody go, exactly. So go, someone do some crisis management there. But in general, we're able to do a lot more of these. Today, actually, I went to Walmart and for some reason they had shut down basically all of the self-checkouts and it was just like the humans again. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is why I
Was there
used
a
to hate
sign that
Walmart.
said like no AI or
Yeah,
like an
no, yeah,
AI
maybe
with
that
a
was
circle
why.
and line through it?
It was like so upsetting because I was like, this is obnoxious. This is how Walmart used to be, where I have to wait for slow
Right.
humans that
I'm gonna have to
talk.
talk to somebody.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly.
what is this?
How terrible this is. I felt very upset. So I, as much as I love, it's like there will be this double, a sword where there'll be this incredible gift, the golden age of what AI is going to bring us. And at the same time, I do think it will be very destabilizing. And I'm starting to come to that realization of just, wow, this is going to be something. Now, I think one of the few glimmers of light is if you're an entrepreneur. And that is something that I think. Have you read Nassim Taleb, the author?
Like, isn't he like anti-fragile or
Yeah,
like, is there Black Swan?
exactly. Black Swan, perfect. Yeah. So I don't know if you've read any of those, but in his Anti-Fragile book, he kind of discusses two cases. One is, and I know we're kind of going off on, I'm sorry, I'm going off on a big tangent, but he discusses sort of like what happens in a big crash. Let's say it's the 2008 crash. Would you rather be guy who works at XYZ, bank or investment bank, et cetera, corporate person, or his brother? Well, he kind of gives the example like, we have one, two brothers. One works at the bank. The other one is a taxi driver. And then the crash happens. What would you rather be? And he makes
Yeah,
a pretty
people
good
still need to
case
get
that,
around.
yeah, he makes a case that you don't want to be the guy working at the bank with the great benefits. Now, again, before the crash, brother who works at the bank has benefits. He's got his 401k, he's got his health insurance, and he's got a pretty cushy job. And poor brother who's a taxi driver's, making a third of what his older, what his brother at the bank is making. But after the crash happens, guess what? You want to be the guy driving the taxi because really nothing's changed for you. Not too much
Right.
at least. And so, now we could talk about self-driving cars. That's a whole nother thing. But at the time this was written, there was none of that. The idea, again, being that there may be certain roles or positions in society where there's a bit of, he wouldn't call it anti-fragileness in that case. He would call it robustness. So anti-fragile is where you might actually benefit from the crash. But there are jobs like the taxi driver where you're at least robust enough to weather it through. And so I
Right,
guess I
right.
would say with, there's a certain level of maybe micro entrepreneurship, kind of what you're doing, what we're doing, bootstrap could be another way where with something very destabilizing like AI, you might at least be robust enough to make it through and be okay. And at best, you might be anti-fragile in which you benefit from this chaos. And
Well, and
so.
I think that's the shift, right? So, especially like when you're talking about, I don't know. Basically, everybody will have to perhaps start doing their own thing,
Yeah.
right? And it's kind of like the creator economy or whatever, right? Where there's There's all these individual artists. Sure, you can make mass-produced AI sounding music. Maybe it gets good. I'm sure it'll get great. But there's always going to be, people like people, right? And so now it's just going to be a mechanism of how do you stand out in the crowd to like build your 1,000 true fans or whatever it is, right? So I think that's going to become more of a, I think that's more of an issue. But at the same time, you really just need 1,000 true fans. It's not, I don't want to say it's easy, but it's not that complicated to get in front of 1,000 people who like you,
No,
right? And then,
exactly.
provide them something of value, and then you're able to make your living off of that, or whatever it becomes. Or, hopefully with the AI, like you'll be able to just start building things through language. And I think that's where the, like Jensen always talks about it, where his whole thing is, our next programming language is going to be English and then Chinese. So you could just say like,
Interesting.
hey, I'd like to make my own, I don't know, eBay. All right. And then it just does it. But I think
Right.
we're
Good
like
point.
way, way far off from that. 'Cause if you've, I don't know, it would actually be an interesting experiment, like using something like Auto GPT and say, make me an eBay clone and see what happens.
Good
I
point.
don't think it
It
would.
so that would require an element of reverse, unless that's an open source project like eBay, which you could go, I guess, and find, a bunch of eBay open source
Yeah,
clone
get clone
projects.
ebay.com and then just fork it.
Exactly. And then, but at, you know, but if you think about it, the value of eBay is not necessarily the source code. It's the
Yeah, their brand,
momentum of the
like
brand.
eBay.
The fact that we all go to it when we think, oh, I need a auto part or something. And so that kind of gets back to like the owners of production, the owners of the means of production. It sounds like for those who are wise, since we don't know what's going to happen in the future and there's a lot of destabilizing factors, those who are as smart are going to find ways to become the owners of entities, of assets, of properties. Would that could be a channel, like you're saying, that you produces, 10 AI songs a day that are really amazing, or 20, I don't know. And so instead of like, kind of you're saying, like, instead of having one brand that has 1,000 followers, you could also create 100 brands that have 10 followers and still get to
Yeah.
that same 1,000 followers. But because you have now the ability to multiply yourself with AI, you can do that in a way you couldn't 10 years ago, 5 years ago even. So it's about like how, it also allows for rapid testing. You might have a 100 different brands that AI is helping you generate, and then you might be able to, by being able to create that so quickly, you can see which ones are working and then double down on the ones that are working. So there's
Right,
different
right.
ways of thinking about this that I think, but I think right now is kind of a critical pivotal time where if you're a corporate, you and Jeff are obviously like you have a corporate side to your life and then you have an entrepreneurial side. You're kind of a rare breed in the sense that you're very those who are living who are dependent on upon a corporate income for their whole life. I don't know how long that party's gonna last. And maybe it lasts a
Right.
long time, but it's probably gonna go through some transition either way. Even if there's corporate jobs at the other end of this, we don't know what those new things look like yet. And so for those who are smart, I think it's wise to be thinking, how can I get more ownership of assets that are going to be robust enough to survive AI? One thing that comes to mind is property.
Yeah, and that's always been the thing, right? Like you should always own property, right? I mean, like have hard assets, because even something, right? Like, let's say you build a SaaS, and then tomorrow, or I think what was talked about was like people who built all those plugins for talking to your PDF or whatever, and then OpenAI just adds it right in. All of a sudden you're wiped out, right? So some like hard goods, some hard asset like property or
That's
land
as
is
hard as it comes.
definitely or gold, or I don't know.
Well, gold
Yeah,
could be,
just.
but I mean, the cool thing about property is that if gold goes out of fashion, no one wants it. But property is sort of one of those things that all humans, either need or would like to have. Even if you're homeless, you'd like to have a roof over your
Yeah,
head.
that's good. Yeah, you can't really do much with gold.
Yeah. Or Bitcoin or something like that. So there's, I mean, having, so I mean, that's where I, and that's also sad too, because what it means is that it could get, if it's very destabilizing, it could mean that those who, it's like musical chairs, those who already have a seat win the game, and those who didn't make it to the seat by the AI revolution are without a seat. So anyway, I don't want to be
Exactly.
just too dystopian, but it's something to be thinking about for those 10 listeners who are listening to our show. You know, if you're not thinking about this, I hope you're one of the, you know, I hope you're one of the few who is starting to think, what does my future look like? Maybe I better start this bootstrap project earlier than I expected.
Yeah, well, hopefully they're already started something. They're on their way. They've
Yes.
got some users, some paying users. They're
I like it.
And then they should also just reach out to us to be on the show.
Yeah, be on the show, talk to us. Call us at 1-800
Yeah, 1-800 Ask Kevin.
Midlife crisis. Yeah. So cool. So any goals for the next week? Ability goals,
Yeah.
let's call it.
Yeah, I think the main thing is getting the rest of the UI wrapped up. There's a couple of integration pieces I need to finish, and then I'm pretty much ready to launch. I don't have like a I guess I probably need a proper home page,
Oh
landing
yeah.
page, all that other stuff. But outside of that, like the app is there and
Ready to
it's
go.
working. I've been using it. So
Okay, cool.
yeah, we're
So are you, so do you have any users that are regularly logging in, as far as you can tell? Are you able to track that?
I don't, and actually that's one of the things. So I need to get some like telemetry for me to understand who's logging in. Like I was looking at probably like using Hotjar or something, and then having some kind of some metrics for me to see like how often people log in. I do have the stats for like when they last log in, stuff like that. But yeah, so there's some stuff I need to get around that. And more, I just want to work with people like as they're using it to observe, like just kind of silently, like what, are they frustrated? Does something not make sense?
Yeah.
Like that kind of a thing, just to kind of make sure. And then I would like to get some videos out of like, here's how you set it up. This is the, like, I have all of the things that you need to fill in, like available to fill in, but I don't explicitly say like, you need to fill this in before it can be considered a podcast or
But
anything.
those are
So
required fields, right?
yeah.
Okay,
And so
so
I can make them required. I just need to make it more intuitive.
okay, got it. All right, that's cool. That sounds like you're pretty close on your way. How do you think, do you think you would want to do a, is there a way you could do a soft launch to a certain portion of a list or something like that, where you're not having to
Yeah, I
like
mean
invite everybody on?
I can do the soft launch now. Like I'll talk to somebody on Friday who has been sort of wanting to do stuff with it, and the features that I'm adding, they're okay with what I have now, so like I don't need
Cool.
to
Oh, great.
have
Okay.
that. So yeah, I'm close.
All right, sounds great. Cool. For me, I gosh, I have so many little things I'm doing. So, by next time we meet, I need to, so I'm building a small new app, and I have still have not finished giving my developer the requirements for the
Oh
functionality.
man.
The good thing is he's mostly been busy building the infrastructure. He's got the app now. He's got a kind of OAuth going for different things, and then he's got like the Stripe integration, so we can bill people. So he's, I think he's finishing that up this week. But I basically have to have by like tomorrow, like here's what I need this to do, make this happen, kind of thing, specifics. And I have not. I've been slacking. The other thing, I have a plugin update that I need to push out, but it's, I'm still working through that. And kind of what we were talking about before, I have been using a lot of AI to help me build those new features. But I'm, you know, if I can basically push this kind of new version out of this plugin, this will be basically like a pro version of a plugin I already have. And so if I can push this out in the next week, I will literally, you know, increase my revenue by I'm guessing 500 to 1,000, a month or something like that.
Oh,
So
wow.
that'd be
Awesome.
nice. It just, because it's a no-brainer. I've been dragging my feet on that. It's like money I'm leaving on, I'm not taking advantage of. And
Right.
people want the features, and they're asking when this is going to be available. So it's a no-brainer, and it's kind of like, why am I not doing this? So those are two things. And then in terms of Alish, I would say I'm trying to negotiate a price raise for one of our partners. We kind of integrate with a website platform. I won't mention their name, but we've raised our own prices on our own website, but they haven't raised our prices, so we're at dirt cheap prices,
Okay.
like bargain basement prices there. And I didn't even ask them last time we did a price raise to raise it, so it's super low, and I just need to get that up. So I'm trying to get the guy to meet with me at least, because he keeps putting me off, and he's like, "Oh, I'm really busy right now." So, anyway, if I can get that price up, that would also help our revenue with Alush, which would be great. So, hopefully, by next
How
week.
has the increase went? Like, I mean, have you anything you can tell from it?
Yeah, I don't know. So I think I mentioned last week that our trial conversion rate has dropped a lot, but strangely enough, our MRR is much higher,
Awesome.
and so is our general revenue. Now, MRR with Stripe, at least, it's a metric from Stripe. I'm not even sure what they use to process this, because I'm not sure if they're using people who have actually paid one time, or if they just are calculating MRR based on people who are in the trial who might pay. It's
Okay.
actually, I'm very confused by that, because I haven't had that many people pay the new price yet, and yet our MRR has shot up. So makes me wonder if it's just
Yeah,
like an
that's
inflated
weird.
MR that is based on trials instead of actual people who have paid. But if even that alone, I still have seen an increase in our monthly revenue by quite a bit. I'd say 20 or 30% right now. So far so
Oh,
good.
that's
And
awesome.
if we can just keep moving in that direction, that would be great. And then I think what I'm going to do is, I had this big plan of releasing this mega update that had like a gazillion big features, and I was like, I'm crazy, I'm not going to be able to do that. Like, I think the best I can do is, it's now in the release, and I think the best I can do is pick it apart and have each feature slowly brought into the current release, so that it's not destabilizing and like
Are
it
you
doesn't make.
using like feature branches in Git so you can just like merge in
Technically,
those
yes,
or
they are feature
like cherry pick your
branches.
commits?
Yeah, I can cherry. Definitely a lot of cherry picking, probably. The problem is that we kind of built this new version of it, and it's all nicely working with itself, but we haven't. It's kind of
Okay.
quite a variation off of the new one. So off of our current one. So I think my developer, now if our revenue goes up, I can now just afford to have our developer. I'm pulled away one developer off the project. So now in a way, Owlish is sort of like break even. I think I can comfortably say that if I look at the latest data for this month, we'll be break even with our developer,
That's
because
awesome.
which is cool, right? So if I can just have him keep improving it, maybe we'll get to a place where it starts to be profitable. Who knows? But
Yeah.
even if it doesn't, at least I don't feel as bad. And so if I'm thinking I'll just have him, I'm going to talk to him next week about this new thing called Operation Feature Migrate or something, where we're going to take this idealistic release that we can't release because it's too much, and slowly pick off parts and bring it into our current one, and slowly like do that over a few months. And I think that's our best chance of
Awesome.
actually pushing updates out this year. Otherwise, it'll be never, So yeah, lot
Makes
to do
sense.
though. As you say, I really overestimate what I can get done, even in a month. So.
Yeah, but we underestimate what we can get done in a year. So I think if you try to overestimate every day,
Yeah. Good point.
you might end up overestimating what you can get done for the year, or
Yeah.
you might end up getting more done in a year. I don't know. Like, just
I like that. That's
high
good. I like that
expectations.
thing. Push hard on the long front, and then give yourself, well,
Yeah,
maybe you
because like,
push hard either way.
well, when people say it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. But I think when you're like running a marathon, you usually want to be the first, right? You want to run the
Yes.
fastest. Like,
Right.
so in theory, it's a you're gonna sprint the whole marathon. So if
Yes.
you can keep up that pace, and maybe using AI to help you become way more effective, then you should try sprinting the whole
Right.
thing. No.
That's true. That's true. I like it. Okay. Well, very good. Let's do it. Let's sprint as
Awesome.
long as we're not, you know, as long as it's not encroaching into, you know, other aspects of life, too
Sprint
much.
till our legs fall off.
Exactly. There you go. Sounds good. All right. Well,
Awesome.
hopefully we'll see Jeff one of these days back in the pod. But again, if you're listening and you haven't given us a review and you like the show, what are you waiting for? We'd love to have you tell us what you think. Good or bad, I guess. Let's just throw it out there.
Yeah. Reach out. Maybe we'll invite you to our Slack. I
Yeah.
mean, come on.
Yeah. Our Slack. There you go. We have a Slack group, so if you want to join the Slack, tell us. We'd love to have you. All right, sir. Well, good
All
to
right.
see you. We'll talk to you next time.
Yep.
And
See you
that
later,
wraps
Kevin.
up another episode of Midlife Crisis. On behalf of everyone, I thank you for joining us today. If you found a bit of wisdom, a laugh, or even a welcome distraction in our stories, we'd be incredibly grateful if you could leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or your preferred listening platform. Those reviews really help us reach more listeners just like you. And if you think of a friend or two who could benefit or would enjoy listening to our misadventures in the bootstrap SaaS world, please tell them about the show. Further, if you're a bootstrap founder and you find yourself in a midlife crisis just like us, and you'd like to be on the show to share your experience, please send us a message at midlifecrisis.com, spelled just like the show, and just click on the About Us link at the top until you find the contact form. Until next time, keep navigating the ups, the downs, and everything in between, and we'll see you on the next episode of Midlife Crisis.